Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veterans Services Department in Green Bay. Here's Mike Clemens.
During the Packers' 34-17 win over the 49ers, they started running out of running backs. I asked Packers head coach Matt LaFleur
at running back Dexter Williams left after.
Milwaukee, start your engines.
It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda. Steve Zocchi, along with the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski, and Guy Hobbs will be joining us in just a moment. And Jeff, we're winding up the NASCAR career of Jimmy Johnson. Of course, Jimmy Johnson is going to continue to drive in kind of an odd reverse of late, where NASCAR driver is going to go IndyCar racing, whereas in the past it's been the other way around with drivers such as like Robbie Gordon or Danica Patrick and that. And I just wanted to kind of get maybe give us a thumbnail sketch overall of your opinion of Jimmy Johnson. Of course, seven-time NASCAR champion, and just your kind of thoughts as he transitions away from an active Cup driver.
Well, obviously, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer. The guy has got just an amazing career. He's definitely, you know, you can put him in the conversation for, you know, is he the best driver ever? And, you know, you can't take anything away from Jimmy Johnson. He kind of showed that there is value on mentorship. You know, he comes in into the 48. He's got Gordon, who's a co-owner, and obviously, you know, I would imagine behind the scenes took Jimmy under his wing. And, you know, obviously Jimmy had a lot of talent coming in. But, you know, Gordon sat there and, you know, help shape him and all that. You know, Jimmy Johnson, he was never one, and I call him boring. I think, you know, he's vanilla. He's kind of, you know, California hippie. But, you know, he never made that mistake. He never sat there and would, you know, put his foot in his mouth like, you know, like Robbie Gordon or Jimmy Spencer or, you know, one of those guys. He would never get into stupid altercations on the track like Joey Logano and guys like that. He went about it very workmanlike and just straight dominated. And for years I hated him. I was so tired of seeing him and Chad Knaus and all the success they had. And, you know, but you can't take anything away from him. I think he was lucky that he had a great crew chief who, you know, was able to bend certain rules to help his guy out, sometimes get caught, most times not. But, you know, Jimmy was phenomenal and a great ambassador for NASCAR. I'm concerned that he's making the jump to IndyCar because I don't think he's going to, I don't think he's going to do all that well. And I hope that people don't sit there and judge without really knowing what's going on. Oh, well, this is a 7-time NASCAR champion. He comes to IndyCar and he can't finish any better than 15th. You know, I hope that that's not the narrative that gets talked about next season. I don't think Jimmy Johnson's going to run anywhere near the top in IndyCar. You know, if you're just 0.2 of a second slower than the rest of those guys with as tight as that series is, you're way in the back. And so, you know, I'm nervous because I think that, you know, it could give NASCAR kind of a bad name that their 7-time champion is going to go to IndyCar and struggle mightily next season.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You know, some of Wisconsin fans may remember that Jimmy Johnson's kind of stock car career kind of got started in the Wisconsin area here with Herzog Motorsports in the ASA series. And I guess it would have been in the late 90s. And you know, he lived in Sussex for a year. And a kind of amusing story is Jim Trado, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, he actually introduced me to Jimmy Johnson at that time, and I was in the midst of a conversation with somebody, and I kind of said, "Hi, how are you doing?" And I kind of blew him off, and I always thought that was kind of funny. That I don't think I was rude to him, but I know I was just in a the funny thing, I can't even remember what the conversation was, but I know it was kind of involving something that. I couldn't really chat with Jimmy at the time, but I always thought that was kind of amusing. But yeah, I mean, a great, great ambassador to the sport. And, you know, he got in at the right time too. NASCAR was still king. And I guess, you know, for those who maybe have been just following NASCAR maybe for the last 10 years or that, I mean, for those of us like Jeff and I and even Guy Hobbs here who's joining me, you know, NASCAR was so big, and it was a, you know, to be honest, a different sport 20 years ago. And a guy who lived in Daytona for many years was involved in radio, and just maybe, Guy, if you can kind of just to kind of tell us how, you know, how intertwined the NASCAR was in the fabric of, you know, that's not only Charlotte but in Daytona back then.
Well, NASCAR owned Daytona. Not only did, obviously, NASCAR headquarters there, but everything to do with Daytona or any decision made by the mayor of Daytona or the the aldermen of Daytona was all based on, well, what would NASCAR do? And should we build this hotel? Well, yeah, it'd be great for spring break, but what about NASCAR? And to the point where all the restaurants and all the bars and sports bars were all dominated by NASCAR. I made a mistake one day of going to one of the big sports bars and suggesting they turn the Green Bay Packer game on the big screen. I was quickly escorted outside and went home and listened to it on the radio because there was no way I forget what race was on, but whatever race was on was definitely dominated. And then, of course, if there was football on, it was going to be Jacksonville or Miami. Jim France. I mean, he is out in the public in Daytona all the time, meeting and asking people about the speedway and things that maybe NASCAR can help Daytona or anything they can do or anything he can do. And then, of course, he quickly jumps on his plane and goes somewhere else. But they're fully aware of Daytona being their home. And Daytona did, like I say, the spring break period. They went for about 10 years there, and they went through another period of some other events going on. But at the end of the day, it's a NASCAR-owned town and run town, and people don't talk about Daytona as being the spring break capital of the world. They talk about, that's where NASCAR is. And it certainly is.
Yeah, I got a buddy of mine in Alabama who always jokes. He goes, "Well, you know, the number one sport is NASCAR down south." I go, "Well, I thought it was, you know, SEC football." He goes, "No, SEC football is a religion. NASCAR is the number one sport in the south." So, Jeff, any final thoughts?
Well, Guy, I just wanted to ask you real quick. A, did you big time Jimmy Johnson in all your years down there like Steve did? And what were your thoughts when you saw Jimmy coming up? Did you think that he had a chance to be as successful as he was, or did you think he'd just be kind of a run-of-the-mill driver?
Well, I never thought he was run-of-the-mill driver, but I didn't think he was ever going to be as successful as he was. I don't think anyone thought he was going to be as successful as he was, except for probably Jeff Gordon, who realized what a great talent he was. But when he first came, I interviewed him, probably would have been his first Daytona. And you could see the look on his eyes and everything. He was like, oh my God, this is Daytona. This isn't Baja or off-road California racing. This is serious stuff now. And looking up into the crowd, and there's 200,000 people sitting, let alone what else is around the stadium, or the racetrack. But you could see he was very wide-eyed and like, what the heck have I got myself into? And then, sure enough, he took the bull by the horns, seven-time champion. And now we get to look forward to him running in IndyCar, which obviously he's with a great team. But I think he's going to find it a lot different running IndyCar than A, Baja, or B, NASCAR. But, I mean, he's a lovely guy, easy to get on with, and he was some people there, I tried interviewing various drivers over the years there, and after 10 years they still wouldn't say a word to me. And Jimmy Johnson would actually come and find me out and say, oh, you're the guy that does the radio, I need to be talking to you because it's good for me. But he's going to be fine doing IndyCar too.
One more question here for you, Guy. Do you think that the IndyCar schedule will help Jimmy Johnson? You know, NASCAR, they basically run every single week from February to November, you know, Corona break obviously excluded because of 2020, but normally every week from February to November. Do you think that the way that the IndyCar schedule is, where they'll have a race and sometimes they'll have 2 weeks or even 3 weeks off in between races, do you think that will help Jimmy Johnson? You know, he can get more time in the simulator or whatever he needs to work on to improve his craft when it comes to IndyCar racing.
Well, because the only way to improve your craft in IndyCar racing, you mentioned simulators, but really the only way to do it is actually behind the wheel of the car in traffic and racing against other cars, because it's going to be so different to him running side by side, or not side by side, but end on end to an IndyCar around an oval, to running a NASCAR or a cup car around an oval. And of course, the biggest thing for him is going to be the fact that it's open wheel, and you cannot, I'll just give him a slight nudge and move him out of the way, because you can't do that as you know, in IndyCar, or you'll pay a very severe penalty. I think the schedule is probably going to... I'm guessing from Jimmy Johnson, from what I've seen of him, all those weeks that they have off, he will probably find something else to race somewhere else. He'll probably go and run a truck race or a off-road race somewhere just to keep himself... Because he is extremely fit. I expect he'll take up some other sport, like running marathons or something on off weekends.
Yeah, he's done that before.
I think the probably the biggest thing for Jimmy Johnson is going to be, he's not going to be Jimmy. It'd be like, I can't think of an equivalent, but for him, he's not going to be Jimmy Johnson walking around the paddock. He's so used to walking around the paddock. Oh, Jimmy Johnson. And now he's going to be walking around the paddock and be a bunch of people there going, I recognize that guy. Who's that guy?
I don't think it'll be that bad, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, with Jimmy. I think he's doing this because he wants to do this. You know, some people may forget that, you know, he was a Chevy back driver coming up, And he had a choice, as a few drivers did back in the late 90s, on which direction he wanted to go. And he had the option of either going IndyCar racing or NASCAR racing. But at that time, you know, you had the IndyCar split with between CART and the IRL. It was interesting. I was listening to Robbie Gordon on the Dale Earnhardt Jr. podcast, and he kind of had a similar situation where he was actually in IndyCar at that time and made the decision to go NASCAR because, well, at that time it was a more, I don't want to say easier, but more of a lucrative maybe, more options than in IndyCar at the time. And Jimmy Johnson did the same thing. And to be honest, I think it was the right decision. If I was in his shoes, he, you know, I would probably have done the same thing. However, that was always been in the back of his mind to do, you know, to run IndyCar. And I think it's kind of surprising that if you ask him, you know, that he's actually being able to do this at this time of his career. Of course, he's not doing the Indy 500 or the three ovals this year. And but, I mean, he's going to be running street and road courses, which I think, ironically, Guy, it might be in a way tougher because you have to be more exact and kind of it might be for a guy stepping into a car from his background might be a little bit tougher, isn't it, to run a Long Beach than it would be running well, maybe not Indy, but like an oval at maybe Texas.
Well, of course, I'm sure he knows, but the biggest thing for him, obviously he's run NASCAR on road courses, but the biggest thing for him is going to be when he goes into his first corner on a street course or a road course, and they're going to say to him, you don't brake until the 20-yard marker. And he'll be like, no, I brake. Coming into turn five at Road America, I start braking about halfway down the straightaway. They're like, no, you brake with about 10 feet to go. And you don't brake, you just touch the brake, set the balance of the car, and then get back on the gas again. He'll be like, no, that's not how it works. And like, yeah, that's how it works in an IndyCar. So it'll be interesting because, you know, we've seen a lot of people do the crossover from go the other way around, IndyCar to NASCAR, because they never get on well there. Because the NASCAR is such, you've got to have a teammate or you've got to have a manufacturer you can hook up with, and the draft is so important. To come in the other way, I think he's probably going to be, well, we know he's a perfectly capable driver. So, well, once he's figured out things like the braking and who he can run, and of course, that's the other thing, is who you can race with and who you can't race with. There's certain people on the IndyCar circuit you avoid at all costs, or you don't mind racing with. You know, they're going to give you racing room. There's some people that they're just not going to give you the racing room, or they don't even know you're there to start with. So it's going to be an interesting, quick learning curve for him. But I think, because someone else who did it very quickly was Juan Pablo Montoya, and of course he went on to win championships and Formula One. Then he tried doing the NASCAR switch, and it didn't work out too well for him. But I think Jimmy Johnson coming the other way will, I think, and of course he's running in a great team and everything else, he's going to be probably just fine. He's not going to go out and win the championship, but right. He's certainly going to get results and show very strongly, I would imagine.
Well, let's
good stuff.
Hope that Jimmy Johnson doesn't run into a jet dryer like Juan Pablo Montoya did that time.
Oh, you had to bring that up, didn't you, Jeff? All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk with Eddie Lapine on the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda. And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda. Of course, Steve Zotke and the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski, being joined here in just a moment by Eddie Lapine from RacingNation.com. But before we get to Eddie, Jeff, I just wanted to touch base with you. You had some Kyle Larson racing news, don't you?
Yeah, since he is going to be joining Hendrick and running the five car next season, Kyle Larson, the Sprint Cup Sprint Car team is shutting their doors, which I find surprising. When he joined in and began that team, it was a partnership with Justin Marks, who now is going to be, you know, running with Daniel Suarez and Justin Marks' Trackhouse Racing team in the Cup Series. But with the level of success that they have had as far as sprint cars, and if you haven't been paying attention, Kyle Larson has just been phenomenal the entire season, winning, you know, 60 or 65% of all the events this year in that sprint series. It's just, to me, it's a little surprising that he would just shutter the doors and not try somebody and keep the team going.
Yeah, it is a shame. I guess they did lose their sponsor, if I recall right. And, of course, Brad Sweet for Casey Kane Racing did win his second consecutive Outlaws title. So interesting that Brad Sweet, who is Kyle Larson's brother-in-law, wins the championship. Of course, now Kyle Larson, you think, well, Kyle Larson won all those races. Why didn't he win the championship? Well, he wasn't running for points. He wasn't running the entire season. He was kind of, as they used to say back in the day, was a money racer. He was just running the big races in a variety of sanctioning bodies and whatnot. So, yeah, Kyle Larson, a phenomenal year on the dirt. Easily the dirt track driver of the year, I think, if they would have a poll for that. So joining us, let's bring in Eddie Lapine from RacingNation.com, who, if I recall, or if I got my feedback right here, is at Daytona for a pretty neat deal. Of course, they're having the Historics there. That's a pretty neat deal. The 2020 Historic Sports Car Racing Championship, the Classic Daytona, which is a pretty neat deal. It's with the Historic Sports Racing Car Series and IMSA at Daytona. And Eddie, welcome to the show. Kind of explain how this event is works. It's certainly different from the usual vintage racing events that they have.
Well, it's happy to be here. I hope you guys are doing well. The weather's great down here in Florida, as I could predict with Daytona. This event is awesome. This is the fourth year, and it's grown in leaps and bounds, even considering what we've gone through this year. They have a really strong turnout. They have seven classes, and they basically rotate. They run for an hour, and then they bring in the next class. So for 24 hours, you have a constant flow of 24-hour racing. And what's really special about this is it's cars that have run. I mean, you have 935s. You have 962s. I mean, cars that are worth $5 million. I mean, some cars in excess of $5 million, depending on when you auction them off, but it's an amazing thing, and it's a lot of guys that just keep rejuvenating this series and these cars. I mean, it's really awesome to be here and be a part of it. Definitely see these cars. I mean, these are cars me and you, Steve, grew up with watching and got us hooked into sports car racing.
Yeah, pretty neat deal. One of my buddies who just restored a car. He restored Kyle Tilley's Lola T210, which was a fast qualifier in his class. Of course, Kyle Tilley runs ERA Motorsports, which runs a LMP2 class in IMSA. And it's kind of neat because you have, you got some pretty neat drivers, some very talented drivers in here. Like Brad Jaeger, who's run in the past. Cody Swanson, the USAC driver, is running Doran Racing Car with Brad Jaeger. And then you have a couple other racers, too. I know, I think Guy was just mentioning, I think Andy Lally has raced in this in the past as other racers. Any other drivers that you've seen this weekend that some of our listeners may recognize racing either here or are down there at Daytona?
Well, Tommy Byrne, who's been driving, I think he's just relentless. He drives anything. I mean, I raced against him last year in the Champ Car Series, and he's always in something. Juan Barbosa is here driving a DP car with Action Express. So, I mean, it's just a neat deal to see these, you know, I guess you would call them gentlemen drivers, some of them, with professional drivers. And Carlos De Segada's driving his DP car he won. He's a local from Tampa and a big Porsche guy, and he's going to be his son's racing next weekend at the 12 Hours of Sebring for Lexus, Michael. And all these guys are racing for 24 hours, multiple drivers switching into other cars and stuff like that. It's just a neat event to see these cars at Daytona. And
well, since you mentioned Tommy Byrne and I have Guy Hobbs here, I mean, what better segue than to for Guy to give us one of his many, many Tommy Byrne stories. Guy, have at it.
Well, we could be here all day, but Tommy Byrne, as you know, unbelievable, fantastic racer. And I had the privilege, but that's definitely in exclamation marks, of working in television with Tommy. I actually recommended him, and he and I covered the South American Formula 3 Championship. He went for an audition. We went to Orlando, to Disney World in Orlando, which is owned by ABC or vice versa. And we went for an audition. And Tommy, being Irish and being Tommy, I said to him, I said, we have to be fully prepared for this. I'm trying to get you a job. It's going to be a high-paying job, or reasonably high-paying job. High paying for Tommy, let's put it that way. And you have to behave, and we're going to go to this audition, and afterwards, depending on how it goes, we'll celebrate or whatever. Oh, not Tommy. We had to celebrate before we went to the job, which I tried to explain to him was probably not going to sit well with the guy actually we're being interviewed and doing a demo with in this massive Disney World studio. Luckily, he got away with it, got the job, and then he ended up coming and working with me at ESPN in Connecticut. We worked out of Bristol. And of course, I should have known. I recommended Tommy for the job. He went for the interview. And then I tried to, he also lived in Daytona at the time. So I tried to explain to him that he should fly at the same planes I do. So we both know we're both there. No, he couldn't do any of that. And finally, we got him on the TV in the very first race. And I'm doing introductions and explaining the series and how I have with me the former British Formula 3 champion that we brought in especially for the series. And I gave him a great big introduction, at which point Tommy said, in Irish, and I can't say the second word, but basically, are we blank on? And I said, yes, Tommy, we are on. We are back live on. And at which point he looked at me and said, you're effing kidding me. I'm like, no, I'm not. We are on. And he's like, oh. Needless to say, Tommy, it didn't go over too well. But
Guy,
he did that for a couple of years with me.
Guy, Tommy's still the same way. He was still joking around on the grid today. And Tommy is... yeah, he's a character. He'd go anywhere for food. He'll race for food. He doesn't care about the money. He just wants to race every weekend. I know when I raced go-karts with him, we came in when we were running down here with Calvin Fish, me and him, and he hit me so hard from behind, and I think I almost knocked the filling out, and he's going, Eddie, what are you lifting for? And I says, Tommy, I'm not lifting. I mean, he just is always flat out and fun, and he's a great guy to be around, and that's kind of what HSR and this deal at Daytona's like.
Well, I tell you what, let's take a quick break. That's good stuff from Tommy Byrne. Hey, make sure you tell Tommy that Guy and Steve say hi. And let's take a quick break. When we come back, Eddie and Jeff and I will do our predictions for the Phoenix race coming up here later today. And, of course, the Cup finale coming up next on the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove and David Hobbs Honda. Hey, welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by legendary Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, of course, from RacingNation.com. It is Eddie Lapine, who is live in Daytona. And next week, it's the IMSA finale, the 12 hours of Sebring, Eddie. What can we look for at Sebring next week?
I think it's going to be very exciting. I think with Porsche's upward swing of recent, winning the last couple races, and I think the points championship in the prototype class is really heated up as Team Penske's trying to secure their second championship in a row as they exit the series. I think it's going to be a really 12-hour sprint race is going to be.
Jeff?
Eddie, do you see any F1 drivers making the jump to IndyCar next season?
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I read the report about Grosjean coming to IndyCar racing. It's possible. I mean, Kevin Magnussen, you know, I don't think his career is over. The seats are evaporating in Formula One, so I guess the next logical step would be IndyCar racing, but I'll tell you, IndyCar racing, I mean, has become a stacked full field of drivers, really good drivers. We had our best year again this year with the rookie field. I mean, these guys they're giving the older drivers a hard time, not too bad with Scott Dixon because, you know, I mean, he keeps finding ways to win at his age. But I think it's going to be tough for them to come over because I think, you know, they're going to need money like anything.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And then plus next, this was just announced too. I think this is kind of cool. F1's going to go to Saudi Arabia next year, run a night race, so I'll be interested. I love the F1 night races, so it'll be interesting to see next year how that works out, Eddie. We're kind of getting up here on time. I do want to do predictions, Eddie. Let's go to you first for the Xfinity series in Phoenix.
I'm gonna go with. I think Chase Briscoe's gonna win it. I think he's gonna win the championship, and he's gonna win the race. I'm
going to
go with him.
All right. Guy Hobbs, who do you like in the Xfinity series?
I'm told I like Justin Haley, apparently. So, Justin Haley, yes.
Justin Haley. Okay. Jeff, who do you like for the Xfinity series?
Briscoe and Cindric are the favorites. I think that Allgaier would be number three. I'm going with Guy Hobbs. Give me Justin Haley.
Oh, Haley. Let's see. Okay. I'm going to go with Briscoe. I'm going to pick chalk on this one. I think it would be a shame if he didn't win the championship this year, especially since he's been the dominant driver. And I would like that would be a nice send-off for him as he goes into the Cup Series in the 14 car, which I'm looking forward to. I'm going to be one of his biggest fans out there. So let's go switch over to the Cup Series. Eddie, who do you like next or tomorrow in the Cup Series of Phoenix?
I am going to go with Kevin Harvick to win the race because I think he really wants to end it with a win, and I don't think nobody's going to be able to mess with him. And I'm going to go with Brad Keselowski.
I like that. And then, Guy, who do you like for the Cup Series tomorrow?
For the series, I like Joey Logano. And then for the race, I'm going to go a surprise winner, coming from behind, Danica Patrick.
That would be an upset. Jeff, what do you like?
I'm going to take Kyle Busch for the race win, and I am going to go with Keselowski for the championship.
Really?
I hope
that is interesting.
I hope.
I am going to go with. I should pick him just so he doesn't win. I'm going to go with Logano.
Okay, your boy, your favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be the fitting way for me to end a racing season this year would be Joey Logano winning the championship for the second time.
I hope not. Especially after watching Harvick get eliminated last week, it would kind of be icing on the cake for Joey Logano to win it. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the final show of the year, and Jeff, I gotta just say thank you so much for the pipe bomb. Awesome job this year. You have been my savior, and I appreciate everything you've done this year on the show. You certainly are my partner in this. I really appreciate it, everything you've done. I'd also like to thank Dennis Michelson from D-Mike Media for everything he's done. And, of course, we couldn't be able to do this without the support from Great Lakes Dragway and Royal Marine. Certainly appreciate everything they've done. Also, David Hobbs Honda. We certainly appreciate their support, too. And, of course, Road America, too, for their hospitality and support throughout the year. Eddie, thank you for coming on the show from RacingNation.com. Everything you've been able to contribute and a big help for you guys. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you as well, Steve. I told you it's the best 2 hours of my week every week, and I mean that. Thank you, and hats off to Mitch and to Austin, who produced us all season long. Thank you guys as well.
Eddie, thank you. Appreciate everything you've done, and keep on kicking butt down there in Florida, all right?
Thanks, guys. It was a great year. Hopefully 2021 will be better.
Oh, you bet. Yeah, and Eddie, thank you. And I just want to thank some other people here as we get to the end of the show. Of course, I'd like to thank David Hobbs, our Formula One expert, for his support throughout the year. Also, Larry Janicek, Judy Stropas, too. You might not know who Judy is. Judy is a legend in the world of racing from behind the scenes, and she's been very helpful bringing in a lot of the authors that we have on the show, including like we had Pete Lyons on last month, and his book, the Shadow Can-Am and Formula 5000 book, just a fantastic book. If you get a chance, make sure you get that book. It's well worth the investment. One of the best coffee table books out there. And also throughout all the books we've reviewed, those are on the Facebook page on the Final Inspection Show. Just some really good stuff. Pete Lyons, George Falmer, who was on the show. Not as many driver interviews, obviously, this year because of the COVID situation, but hopefully we'll be able to increase that next year. But just the support of everybody throughout the year. It's been, to be honest, it's not the easiest. It's been tougher this year than any other year to do this show. Just because the constraints doing this not in studio is also, so we appreciate your patience with us. Jeff and I not being able to wink at each other and wave to each other so we don't step on each other, which has been kind of an issue this year. So we certainly appreciate it. And Guy Hobbs, thank you for being on the show. Appreciate it. Did you have fun today?
I had more fun than is legal in Elkhart Lake.
All right. And thank you, Austin. We certainly appreciate it. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next year on the Final Inspection Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.